I know that members of parliament have been given the testimony request that we be told by whoever has it and make a comment.
And submit it to Nigeria so that those from the AG's office can get it before they dash off. If you don't have it, there are extra copies. To all members, can you just put this other one there? Anyone else who wants, huh? Even those who didn't get food, apologies, apparently we were underfed. You know, this is an African. You invite people and you don't feed them appropriately. It's an African, but this thing has not been properly transformed, eh? Inemteto eminye nje yokuhamba. Ayinamteto yesintu. Very, very bad after 23, 24 years. Siyaxolisa. Shelem. Siyaxolisa ngoba uwo phethe manje. Oh, no DM nangukhona nse. Siyaxolisa nje ukuthi simeme singanikeza ukudla kwanele. Yeah, you see, members of parliament should never be sponsored with food. But we'll look at it in future so that we... This is any umphako, Shelembe, you know, that kind of a thing. If it did persist, we may really have to consider other measures because it's rude. We may laugh about it, it's very, very rude. People come here, they have to work, and you keep them captive for the whole day, and you don't even give them food. It's un-African. But yeah, we'll have to remind ourselves in future. We invite people, we must advise them, Guti, Nizeni Patel, you know. There is that thing as well, but Nizeni Patel. Which doesn't also work very well. But yeah, we are going to kickstart with USASA presentation. Obviously, the leader of the delegation is the board chair. But I don't know whether the DM would like to have anything to say. Thank you. Shalembe, Stan.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. As you know that we were appointed on the 1st of September 2018 and we are discussing the annual report for the year 2017-18 which ended on the 30th of March 2018, 6 months before our appointment. However, we take full responsibility as the interim board and we will assist where possible in terms of answering the questions. But I will ask the CEO to make the presentation and we as a board will support him to the extent possible. CEO.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, panel members and the colleagues. Chair, we are a team with three executives that are part of the delegation and the board members. I'll try and reduce the many slides into reasonable time of presentation. Without compromising speaking to the two entities in one, which we have been asked to present as two, which is the fund and the agency. The first slide speak to the structure of the presentation and the mandate, which I'm not going to maybe we should switch off the light. The mandate which I'm sure we're all alert to, it just contextualizes the presentation and our vision and mission, so I'm not going to spend time on those. This goes back from the constitution up to the policies that we use to understand our mandate, including this slide that reminds us of the policy targets that are set in the different policy documents. And we also included this structural slide on basically our APP to contextualize it within the framework of that accountability wheel that the Auditor General spoke to. I'll zoom into then the performance itself of the year under review. Chair, as we all know, it has not been a good year for USASA and USAF. I think quarter one, quarter two were doing well, but from quarter three to quarter four, things started to regress. Out of the 24 planned targets, we only achieved 10 and did not achieve 14, resulting in just 42% achievement in the financial year for USASA. I'm not going to spend more time on the areas of achievement, just to highlight that we did well in respect of SMME engagements and BBBE support, risk management. Seb, you'd recall we have been when we joined, this was a huge backlog with a huge investment, and we were able to, as the DG Shelembe spoke to, were able to implement this and ensure its usage and availability, which is improving our efficiencies. We also did well in terms of the one historic challenge, which has been the commitment of our team members through performance agreements. So we were able to get that commitment in writing and signed off. And also in respect of our legal compliances and the industry review symposium. Also, you'd recall when we presented our APP, we indicated that we do need to conscientize our people of the digital consciousness or awareness, otherwise the rolled out infrastructure will be white elephant. So we're able to partner with institutions to hold the digital summits. And on the smart communities, we began some baseline work, but we did not achieve the major part of that. So just to focus on the areas of underperformance, which starts from the slide you said you should start with, Chaperson, which relates to AG audit action plan. We did not complete implementing our actions in that regard, and we have had to tighten that area because we did not achieve the 100% implementation of the audit action plan that we planned. Also, we did not achieve not repeating findings. So those were the areas of underperformance. Similarly, in terms of what we planned in regards to training, we did not implement that 100%. We were only able to implement 24% of our plan. Same as the climate survey action plans. You'd recall we had conducted a climate survey and we had action plans derived from that. We only implemented 89% of those action plans. Also, another area of underperformance was in respect of utilization of local skills and service providers by award bidders. Again, here the achievement was less than targeted due to the bidders' failure to provide complete information on the utilization of local skills. Is an area that we are tightening up and making sure that our bidders do comply and provide us with information in terms of the indicators. Also, in terms of brand awareness, we also did not measure that as planned, as such leading to our underachievement in that regard. Similarly, in terms of stakeholder satisfaction level, we did not measure it as planned, resulting to non-achievement of our target. And compliance with performance information standards, we were 97% compliant against the planned 100%, which unfortunately in terms of AG, even if we have not achieved 0.001%, the conclusion is non-achievement. I've already elaborated on the AG audit findings. Our team was unable to provide adequate portfolio of evidence substantiating the reported performance, which was as a result of poor performance, but also not understanding the indicator in the same way as expected from the APP and with AG. We also did not produce the research paper that we planned to produce on national and global ICT trends in the end of the financial year. Also, in terms of the conceptual framework for the Digital Development Fund, we had set a date there, but the process has not been concluded by the end of the financial year. Also, because this is a target that is both on our side and also working with the department, and it is influenced by the ICT SMME development support, which was only approved in November last year. So that led to delays in the development of the business case. And the impact studies were planned to conduct also by the end of the financial year, we had not conducted those. And the Smart Communities Master Plan, which I've already spoken to, it was not developed, and that's the task that we have to conclude, because we want to ensure that with all the infrastructure that is rolled out, we support the creation of smart communities. With respect to capacity, the slide shows our capacity in respect of staff complement. We had about 7 vacancies that were not filled by the end of the financial year, and we are improving because we do need to fill all the vacancies. We are fast-tracking those processes. And the next slide just shows the top 5 risks and how we're mitigating them, including one of the biggest risks, which is the SEP, the risk related to SEP, wherein we do desperately need to have support and maintenance of SEP, because you cannot have any SEP without support and maintenance. And unfortunately, this was not budgeted for when this system was procured. So from time to time, then we are seeking support from National Treasury in order to support and maintain the SEP system. The other big risk is in respect of the Digital Development Fund. We had thought that by this time we would be having some clarity of the roadmap towards the development of the fund, but work is going under the department, under the leadership of the department, towards the process of achieving that. The next slide just shows the summary of what AG presented in the main, wherein we're showing that whereas we had improved in 2016-17, we regressed from 8 findings to 14 in the financial year, and there's also or rather largely the contribution being matters that were found in respect of supply chain management. And I'm going to ask the CFO to then take us through that in respect of the next slide and the finances.
Okay. Good afternoon, honourable members. In terms of the irregular expenditure and the status thereof as at 31 March 2018, USASA irregular expenditure is 5.5 million rands, which was made up of 3 million for the current year and 2.5 million, which relates to prior financial years. The key area for the irregular expenditure in USASA is services provided beyond contract value, as well as no submission was prepared for a deviation. The detail behind that is in slides which are to come. There was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure recorded under USASA. In USAF, we ended the year with irregular expenditure of 19.2 million, which is made up of 215,000 rands for the financial year under review, 2017-18, and 19 million rands for the prior financial years. In USAF, the key areas for irregular expenditure in the current year, 17-18, was misinterpretation of a Treasury instruction relating to sourcing quotations relating to travel, and that was rectified immediately when brought to the attention of the agency by the Auditor General. The responsible official went through a disciplinary process, and was the outcome was a dismissal. Under USAF, there was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In terms of the actual audited financial performance for the year under review, I would draw members, the entity, the agency, recorded a deficit, the bottom line, of 84 million rands, which I will explain, which I think is the salient feature of this presentation. The key drivers there were legal fees, which is somewhere there in the middle of 19.2 million, the expenditure, as well as the BDM warehouse and logistics of 56.8 million. So if you'd allow me to explain it in detail. The legal fees, remember, members, as I've said in previous presentations, we don't receive a budget for legal fees in terms of for the BDM. And the majority of all of this legal fees is with regards to defending the BDM project against claims which have been made by the contracted service providers. For example, the foreign exchange variation claim which certain suppliers want USASA to pay for. So basically, their losses that they made for not hedging their contracts, they wanted the agency to pick the bill, and the agency has vociferously defended this. We've gone through the arbitration procedures which are per the contracts that we have entered into. So that was the main driver. So as an example, we just get basic about 850,000 rand as legal fees. That's what National Treasury gives us in terms of the budget. But to defend contracts which are worth, you know, in over a billion rands, we get nothing. The next one is the BDM warehouse and logistics. That's relating to funds which we received in 2016. Members will recall USASA received 146.8 million rand. That was for the BDM warehousing and logistics. Our partner is SAPO. That is where they do the warehousing and logistics for the BDM stock. And then the activities took place from, the contract was only signed, I think, in around June 2016. So in the 16-17, 17-18 financial year, that's where the activities have taken place. The funds which USASA have received have now been fully depleted. So what you see there is the last of the funds that we have, 56.79 million. And when you meet with SAPO, they will tell you that in subsequent years, they have received the funding. So it now sits on their books and no longer sits with us. So going forward, we don't have any invoicing from SAPO for the services. We sign off on and certify that the work has been done so that they can then draw down monies, which they keep ring-fenced in their books. So that's basically it. And then those were the two main drivers that resulted in us having a deficit. How we funded that, I will show you in slides to come.
Maybe before we proceed, just to bring to the attention of members that the results of that legal defense led to one arbitration we had with one service provider, which we won. Service provider which was awarded in partnership with another one, and there was then a dispute between the two service providers. When they parted ways, then the other one claimed that we should pay that contract to them, which we took it on arbitration, and we won that case. The second huge achievement was the implementation of the Auditor General funding. You'd recall that 2016, when we came in, we focused on auditing the BGM and increased the allocation for AG in order to focus on looking at what went wrong. And there were then the AG findings, which meant we needed to then take further action. And we took the process to the High Court, where we applied for setting aside that entire process and all that panel. And in addition, we applied for suspension of the invalidation of the existing contract so as to enable us to continue to do the work so that the money doesn't become wasteful. And we again won that case. We got the judgment in our favor. So there is therefore positive stories arising out of that expenditure.
Okay. Thank you, CEO. Okay. The next slide is the statement of financial position for USASA, for members to review. If there's anything in detail you would like, I'm happy to go through it. Thereafter, we've got the statement of changes in the net assets for the entity, and then our cash flow statement for USASA is presented hereof. The slide I want to talk to is in terms of the statement of comparison of the budget and actual amounts, and then if I draw members' attention to the second last line, where you will see an adjustment of 27.4 million. So this adjustment here is with regards to on an annual basis when we request from National Treasury to retain surplus fund, and this is how we've now funded our legal fees, where National Treasury has then allowed us to retain surplus funds to the value of 27.4 million, which was then allocated between legal fees. We allocated about 19 million rands to the legal fees, and then about 8.4 million rands towards support and services. This is also another service that that we require, but when we budget for this during the MTEF process, National Treasury is not giving us the funds to or allowing authorizing the funds for SAP support and maintenance. I mean, SAP is a complex system. It requires experienced consultants, experts to provide support and maintenance, and without it, we can't utilize the system to the fullest. But they did allow us from our surplus funds to retain an amount of about 8.4 million, which was also then utilized to acquire such services. Okay. So as you can see then, in more detail, what I've been speaking to is the legal fees You can see the adjustments there for the legal fees, the BDM warehouse and logistics, that is those funds which I've already spoken about, the remaining portion of the $146.8 million that was received in the 2016 financial year, and then under general expenses, which where consultants reside, and that was for the SEP support and... Okay. The next slide here speaks to the irregular expenditure, where I show members the detailed breakdown on where irregular expenditure arose from, and I will give the background to this. The main driver in terms of this, the biggest amount, was services rendered beyond contract value, and it's relating to the contract that we have with Vodacom. Members will know that there is a transversal, number one, there is a transversal contract that we are migrating to, and it is with Vodacom. So our current service provider is Vodacom, the RC15 is with Vodacom, and we are migrating to that. In terms of delays, in terms of why we haven't migrated, we've also had our own supply chain capacity constraints where, as I've just mentioned, we had a senior manager in SCM who was suspended and went through a disciplinary process, or our department had one less senior staff, as well as we had delays from Vodacom in terms of coming back to us and clarifying the actual value of the savings that were proposed when they came to see us. The other factors that drove this to be beyond contract value was that we had unbundled the insurance from our existing service provider, and the reason being, and then put it on to taking from Vodacom, for a simple reason, is because if there's more claims on cell phones, we didn't want to, in terms of managing your claim history. So we, instead of getting a bad credit, bad claim history on your insurance, which covers a lot of other assets other than something which is movable like your cell phones, we then put it onto Vodacom. There was also some practical things that happened, like the on the Vodacom contract, you have one bit which is the cell phones, but the other bit is your data to the APN lines and exhaustion of the APN lines. It's hard to predict with certainty how much of data you're going to use for a month. And then also remember, members, once you implemented SEP, you want to get the benefits of SEP. You want SEP to be then, when people are on their mobiles, be able to transact. Like when I'm sitting in this meeting here, I can release a purchase order, release a purchase requisition, and that all is data-hungry application. So that also resulted in services going beyond the value. The next big one there was 483,000 rand, where there was no approved submission for deviation. Over here, the was for some software for our systems. And we have sent out a quotation to about 7 service providers. None had responded with a quotation. And then the existing service provider who had provided us with the equipment and the license, we then acquired it from that company. And all that was required was, again, for a submission to be prepared, which would then list the reasons and get it approved. Unfortunately, that was not done, and hence the it's been classified as irregular. And then the third highest one was for a service provider that was utilized. It was not registered on the CSD. So in terms of the valuations that had come with when we had first sent out the RFQ to all service providers who were only on the CSD, the evaluator came back to say that none of them met the requirements, and then more were sourced, but the one that was given to us and that was also sourced and utilized, we then found that it was not on CSD. So services were acquired, it was used, but because it's not on the CSD, that supplier is not on the CSD, it's been recognized as irregular.
Thanks, CFO. Chair, I will quickly conclude through the USAF presentation. Again, this is not a good story. USAF didn't perform well in the year under review. Out of 10 targets, we only achieved 3, which was just 30% of the total APP. The achievement areas range from the ICT training programs to improve the digital literacy that I've already spoken to, utilizing public institutions as anchor clients to the broadband network, and the number of set-top boxes and antennas procured. Again, this is one program, the BDM program, that we have a huge backlog that comes years ago, and we tend to focus our resources in clearing the backlog, which is positive, but it then diverts people from other work that they need to do because we do not have necessarily additional resources to drive this project. So the resultant under achievement areas, we had planned to establish some smart communities, which was a target that was therefore not achieved because of the poor performance, the resources, and also the master plan that we needed to conclude before we could then be able to determine the smart communities. The other area was in respect of the access to electronic communication infrastructure. As at the end of the financial year, where only one of the two targeted areas had the infrastructure deployed. The other area, due to a number of reasons, from weather to protests in the area, led to delays, which we are currently making sure that we achieve those. The other area is the number of hotspots deployed. We only achieved 27 of 40 planned hotspots in the year under review. This is additional, these are set targets for that financial year, additional to what has been done before. And the percentage set-top boxes distributed for registered users, this again is an area of under achievement. And this is an area that is a work dependent on us and the post office. So we work together in order to register, capture the registered, and there's a gap here in terms of utilization of technology. From registration, capturing that information into the system is not automated, and after which then there is then the installation that USASA then will be responsible for. The other area of underachievement in respect of connectivity, maintaining connectivity in existing sites, which we did not achieve as planned. And we list there the challenges and the interventions, which again, some of the challenges were never foreseen when we planned the project, like the instability in electricity supply, schools during holidays, the principal to save electricity because they use pay-as-you-go kind of electricity. So during holidays, they switch off the plugs, and it then affect the infrastructure deployed there, and also affect the set target for maintaining connectivity, which we're trying now to be more smart in how we define the indicator so that there's no expectation of connectivity even when schools are closed. So we're trying to redefine the indicator so that we're able to mitigate this challenge. We thought our plan was smart, but obviously with these challenges, we faced new challenges that we had not foreseen. But we have those interventions to make sure that we resolve those problems going forward. And the next slide just shows the top five risks. Perhaps one can highlight the one in respect to PDM that Honorable Shin already asked. One could say there where we are now is the High Court judgment has cleared the way forward, and no one challenged our application, so we were successful. So there is now no panel. There is now no existing program to implement in terms of that procurement, except for concluding the work being done by the existing service providers. And one of them has already concluded. There is one that is facing challenges as a result of its relationship with the financer, the VBS, and there are challenges in that regard. And even though they were left with a few boxes to produce, about 100 and something, but there are challenges that we're engaging. We're meeting with the legal team to see how do we resolve that problem. And the one, the bad performing one in respect of DTH boxes, which we are also meeting tomorrow to discuss the situation in terms of how do we mitigate that particular challenge. So those are the only commitments that we have, and of course the related equipment like dishes and antennas, and which they those contracts also have been fully completed. So where to from here? Then there were changes, of course, in terms of the policy directives. The new minister now, after looking at the situation, have realized that we actually can save money if we were to not go the procurement route, but explore other models like vouchers, even if the voucher does not, there's not enough money to give you a full voucher for a high definition television or a set of box and installations, etc. But maybe some reasonable contribution, and you may then have to add up whatever that outcome becomes. But a model that is changing and saving from the existing model. That's the discussion and policy directive that we await from the minister. The negative impact of that is in our plan, we had to procure, even if it's a few set of boxes, which was about 23,000 set of boxes. But now we cannot implement that plan in the light of the new model that is being discussed, that possibly at the next session with the Minister of Communication, there will be a direction that we will all be given and ourselves. So that's the risk we have. So we're currently engaging with our principals to amend our APP, because which means, therefore, we're going to have another underachievement if we are not implementing the APP as was approved. So that's the conversation we are having, and we may come back to you through the department in that regard. The next slide speaks to the AG findings, as we have already spoken to, the regression that led to a qualification, which is the bad story of Yusuf in this, in the financial year under review. And I'll ask the CFO to then speak to the details going forward in terms of unpacking that.
Okay, thank you, CEO. In terms of the USAF qualification, I wanted to give members the background to it, and then also Mr. Ndaba, who is our Executive of Operations, for which BDM program falls under, will also add in where necessary. At 31 March 2018, there was approximately about 57 set-top boxes, kits, that were not installed. The external auditor selected a sample of these for verification. The results of the sample that was tested was extrapolated across the population of all uninstalled STBs, the STBs that made up the 57,000 that was issued out in bulk. And the conclusion was that the inventory balance was materially understated and expenditure was materially overstated. So during the verification process, all the STB kits selected for sampling were not presented, and these were some of the reasons why. Some of these kits were in deep rural areas, and the installation companies could not, within the time frame, collect these from their installers and then present them to the auditors for verification. Some kits were not with the installers, as they had not collected these from the actual SAPO branches. So they had those challenges. Some STB kits selected had already been installed. So they were showing as uninstalled, but they had already been installed, but they had not been redeemed. And these could not then be obviously presented because they were already in the beneficiaries' homes. Some of the installers brought back equipment. However, the equipment they brought back were not the equipment that the auditors wanted to see, because remember, we've got all the equipment is listed and recorded with serial numbers for an antenna as well as for the set-top boxes. So the installation companies thought they were compliant, they bring back 20 boxes. However, these 20 boxes are not really what was selected for the sampling. The other, because of the high risk, the AG had not accepted photographs of the boxes and the kits. So some of the audit evidence, some of the evidence that we had, for example, where the installer went to a post office, took a photograph of the boxes with the antennas with the SAPO staff, and then transmitted it to us, they were not accepted as sufficient audit evidence. So when auditors do then the results and extrapolate it across the population, it then ended up being a material amount of misstatement. Now, the obvious question is, CFO, why didn't you just reverse the whole transaction and then everybody would be happy? But as Mr. Machetti, who's sitting there, will say, it wasn't as simple as that, because we knew that some of these boxes were, in fact, already installed. And some of these boxes were also with the beneficiaries, because the split of the 57,000 STBs, they were not all with the installers. Some had been direct issues from the post office to the beneficiary. So in previous years, that was sufficient. However, when it came to actually providing evidence that those were with the beneficiaries, again, our partners, SAPO, did not timeously give us the proof of the beneficiaries having signed it. So it wasn't as simple as just reversing the transaction. If it could, and to save USAF, definitely we would have, and that was one of the things we ran through. Next, if I can show you the performance of USAF, then to draw members' attention to the line which is called Digital Terrestrial Television Project, which is the installation of the boxes now with that 417 million rand there, as that's basically leading to then the deficit recorded of 206 million. So this all is basically now how you account for these boxes. Remember in previous years we've been acquiring all these boxes, but the uptake in previous financial years was not large enough. Hence, you can, and also the amount that we had received in terms of the transfers, you will see there was a surplus recorded in the previous financial year. Now, as the boxes are removed from the SAFO branches and warehouses, taken by the installation companies and installed, what happens then is when you recognize the expense. So going forward, as this project is ramped up through bulk installations, and this will continue. So the depletion from the warehouses and the branches, so it's taken off the balance sheet and it's expensed through the statement of financial performance. Hence, you will see that number will be increasing going forward. Okay, and in the USAF financials, that's the key area there to speak of is in the inventories, where you will see now 662 million we had in inventory at the 31 March 2017 financial year, and that's now at 2018, that's now dropped to 606 million rands. And also remember there was also acquisitions during the current financial year, so that all fed through into that 417 that I spoke to in the other slide. If we go to the statement of changes in net assets, I think the key thing here is to show where we disclosed the transfer made to the National Revenue Fund. This is where Treasury instructed the department instructed USAF to return to Treasury interest earned on funds that were not spent, which was then 241.8 million rands. So in effect, the fiscus took back 241.8 million rands that could have been spent towards PDM. Okay, and then on the cash flow, statement of cash flows, then just to show that right there in the middle, you will see there where we've recorded the transfer to the NRF, the material transaction. And then on to the statement of comparison of the budget and actual amounts in terms of the what National Treasury allowed us to retain in terms of our surplus funds. Number one, there's on this page, you will see the 29.5 million rands that was to fund connectivity in underserviced areas. And then on the next page, on the DGT project, the remaining funds that we had, the 1.5 billion rands. So that is how we retain the funds to spend on BDM. And then irregular expenditure for USAF. As the CEO spoke about earlier on, the panel has now been set aside by the High Court, and High Court condoned the irregular expenditure. So during the course of the year, there was 207.9 million rands, which was spent on BDM, but subsequent to year-end, and it is a note in the financials, actually on the last day when financials were due to National Treasury, the 31st of May 2018, that is when the High Court ruled. So it was, and it was material, so basically we had to redo the financials at 3 o'clock. So that's the 207.9 million. The The expenditure for three quotations not sourced, I have spoken to that before, that's 215,000 rands. That's a legacy issue discovered by the auditors back in July 2017. It affected the first 3 months of the financial year, April, May and June, but it was rectified immediately when the AG brought that to our attention.
The next slide just speaks to some of the questions that were asked at the last appearance, and some of them we've already spoken to, so I'm not going to repeat them to save time. And you also asked us to speak to the progress in respect of the Mpumalanga rollout. So the next few slides just give you that context of the broadband rollout. This slide tells you the full picture that we these are the number of sites that have been deployed and connected in terms of the plans that we had in the previous financial year. And again, the story that we do tell is, whereas we have in previous years only connected 155 sites. From 2016 onwards, we increased the rollout with the same human resources, which is a big challenge. We had thought that we were going to be able to increase the human resources, but then the DDF conversation came, and there's no way we can get more money for an entity that is about to dissolve. So as such, we continue with the capacity that we have, and the more we delay in the dissolve and the establishment of DDF, it means this workload is going to be continuously being heavy on us. And the next slide just gives you the full picture from 2013 to 2017-18 of what the total number of sites connected in respect of municipalities, that benefited from this, the schools, the clinics, and other government departments. Specifically in terms of Mpumalanga, in November last year, we came and presented to you where we were and the interventions we made to correct that historical problem of Mpumalanga. As at the end of last month, all sites are connected, and the plan that we had to remove some of the satellites and replace them with Wi-Fi led to just 14 clinics that migrated to wireless. But we still have 7 clinics that are still connected on satellite. And there are challenges that continue then to relate to that in terms of speed and workmanship. But the positive development also was that in addition there was the municipal offices that were connected and the additional school that was added. So that's the progress now in terms of Mpumalanga. So it's no longer Honorable McKinney with that experience we had, so it's a different experience now. That's our presentation in chapter of both USASA and USA. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Colleagues, lights on. Any takers? Madam Shin, I know that Madam Shin, I want to grant you the first permission to speak. Mayor, overruled. You are first on the floor. You are the most passionate member on the subject. We must give you credit for it, and then Mackenzie will follow, Mam Dongeni will, and we will see.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mtindi, going through the annual reports here, was a concern for me. You became the CEO of USASA in, I think it was May 2016. And then you were suspended at February 2018. Is that right? Those dates? Okay. So most of the missed targets in these reports happened during your leadership of the entity. Now, I know that ICASA is a waste, USASA is a wasted idea. I mean, it's a superb idea, and it has been mismanaged since the start. So you inherited a poison chalice. I accept that. But what were the major issues that you found as managing the entity that made you not succeed in meeting these targets? Because you set these targets knowing the difficulties. And yet you set them, and yet you didn't meet them. So I'd like some understanding from you on what were the difficulties, where did it go wrong, what could have been done differently. I sort of have the view that there's too much work here for the entity in its current state, that perhaps we should be pruning targets and pruning programs until you can actually get a smaller core of activities and personnel running efficiently. Things that bothered me, poor selection of service providers. You know, the service providers not being able to deliver on what they were being paid for, either through incompetence or lack of skills or lack of management. What is being done to better vet service providers? Because this is public money that's being spent for people who are desperate to get connectivity. And it's not being met because of incompetent service providers being recruited and paid to do the job. Wanting to know what court cases, criminal actions are in place for the fraud issues that were found in, I think it was in Northwest, for the set-top boxes, where they claimed payment for set-top boxes that they hadn't installed. What criminal action has been taken against that? There also seemed to have been theft or some kind of misdemeanor at the SOPA warehouses. There were some boxes that seemed to disappear or weren't accounted for. What criminal action is being taken there? Then also the procurement and installation and implementation of the SAP system. SAP costs more to install and maintain and train than it does to buy the software. I mean, it's common cause in the sector. This was obviously a decision made before your time. Why was there no perhaps warning bells ringing that you actually couldn't implement the system unless there was proper implementation and staff training? And also there was somewhere along the line in here staff resistance to the change of systems that the SAP introduced. So obviously there wasn't any change management program, which is essential for this sort of stuff. Because, you know, I think all of us have been there when a change is imposed upon you and everybody immediately says, over my dead body, is this going to happen? So that's obviously a big thing. What I want to understand with the court judgment on the set-top boxes. Now, you say that the court accepted the cancellation of the tenders and condoned the amount of expenditure spent on it. Now, was that to the date of, because 1.5 million set-top boxes were ordered. Not all of them were produced at the time the production process was halted. CZ Electronics, I think, just turned them out in a couple of months. It's you know, they took their money and went away. The other two didn't produce according to their orders that were placed. Now, does that judgment say that those other two providers can now produce or must now produce and claim payment for the set-top boxes that weren't installed and produced at the time the production order was stopped? When was that? That was November or something, 2016, somewhere around about that. I forget when it was. So what has the court approved that those two companies can now continue to reproduce according to their initial order and get paid for it, or has it been stopped at the production date stop, which I think is, as I said, at the end of 2016? Obviously there's a whole thing on the BDM process that we need to understand how it's going to go forward there. In relation to the court case, the serious procurement irregularities that were carried out by your predecessors, the people on the bid committees, and that including some external consulting companies that profited quite highly from this, from the people who actually benefited, got the tenders. One of the problems with the tender was that they initially tendered too low and were asked to increase. This is according to the PricewaterhouseCoopers report, that they were then asked to up the tender price for the set-top boxes. Has that been thoroughly investigated, and will criminal charges be laid against those people, even though they were winning bidders, for actively partaking in what was a corrupt process? I think I'll leave it there for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. No, I don't have that institutional insight and knowledge, so let me just stick to the presentation, if I may. You know, Chairperson, we've been witness to the, and I'm going to call it, I'm not going to mince my words, we've been witness to the shenanigans at USASA in terms of the chairperson of the board and the CEO and suspending this one and that one running away and the enmity that existed. When I go through this annual report, and let me just give some examples of comments I've put up from the auditor. Starting on page 30, the underperformance is attributed to poor planning and lack of monitoring of the audit action plan by the responsible program managers. Over the page, underperformance is attributed to poor management of human capital by the respective supervisors. Further down, underperformance is attributed to various heads of divisions and respected supervisor of failing to implement some of the activities. Underperformance is attributed to failure by operations division on not providing a complete list of connected sites. Underperformance is attributed to a management failure to develop a methodology. Underperformance is attributed to a management failure to also a methodology. On the following page, underperformance, and I'm on page 36 now, is attributed to poor performance and consequence management. Underperformance attributed to delays in finalizing and tabling the draft bill. Underperformance attributed to poor performance and consequence management. Underperformance is attributed to poor performance. So what you're seeing is a trend, as you go through this annual report, you're seeing a trend of underperformance by line management. Now, line management reports directly into the CEO's office as an operational function, that the CEO is directly responsible for the performance of all the line management underneath it. That's the direct line of accounting. I would imagine that the board, and really I'm not taking sides in this thing, I would imagine that the board is there to set a vision and to practice oversight generally on the role, just make sure that the ship is traveling in the right direction. They're certainly not obliged to interfere operationally. And what I'm seeing here in this annual report is a trend of operational failures, which must be laid at someone's door, and with respect, Ms. Timothy, I suggest that that door is yours when it comes to the failure of this entity. I think it's also doubly concerning when you see a trend that shows progression, and the amount of money you're managing is just staggering, that shows a progression towards, you know, getting better in the last financial year, and then we hit this one and you've kind of started to regress again. So the trend has turned around and now it's not favorable anymore. Without going through all these things, probably the biggest saving grace that I can think of for USASA is that it is going to be taken apart and put into something else, where hopefully we can start fresh. When I look at your annual report, to turn to specifics, we've got one, and it's not relevant, to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages wasted to profiles on directors. Really, guys. We don't need to know, you know, how excellent you are. I would have thought that this kind of single page organogram would serve that purpose rather than a further 6 pages. If I can just turn to the financials. Just on page 93, can you tell me, your spending has jumped on consultants and professional fees from 283,000 the previous year to 7.5 million. Can you just tell me why there's that jump? And you spent 219,000 on research and development in 2017 and you spent nothing in 2018. Why, have you just, did you put an end to that initiative or that program? Chairperson, I'll stop now. I might take a second round. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. How many households have been installed as from ever since we started this project? Can you please give me the number ever since? Because I don't know the number. This year, this number. That year, this number. Today, this number. How many vacancies you have? And when are you going to fill the vacancies? And then on your slide 51 in your presentation, currently your self-site breakdown roll out. You said in Eastern Cape or Tambo and Nyandi in 151. It's not working. It's my constituents. I know it's not working. So I'm not quite sure, okay, whether it's working, but it's not working. So can you please tell me? I'm not quite sure. I'm not convinced. Or maybe you want to connect again. You just put the infrastructure, but it's not working. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. CEO and the board. Earlier on when I dealt with the DTPS, the department, I did say earlier that there is this page that we directed all departments and entities to present to us that indicates how we have dealt with the queries that the AG has raised. Now, that page that you showed there, does not speak to the issues. You see the one that the department presented? Indicates the areas that the AG queried. How many in each category? What have you and how have you dealt with them? Where you have not succeeded to do it, you put it in red. Where you have moved in a particular way and so on, you end up with green. Now, you did present the report, and that page is very deliberate because it gives us, you know, just looking at one page, you can see whether this entity will address the deficiencies that have been identified. So I am unhappy with your presentation. And I'm going to direct that by tomorrow, this time, we should have that page. If you do not know what it is, Shalembe must make sure that you get it. Because I expect of all entities to give us that page. Because just at a glimpse, you can see that in one page, there is movement or there's stagnation. Because the reason why entities and departments get qualification, it's because These things have been repeated. Now, if you were queried on activity X, your SCM and whatever you, year 2015, the same thing reoccurs in 2016, 2017, and now, surely you qualify for qualification because you are not doing anything about it. But also, it helps you as management. You see, the issues that Member McKenzie raises, it's repetition, failure. Now, if you continue to fail, it means even when you have been alerted, you still ignore those things. So tomorrow this time, I want that page. But you must also remember that, and I'm happy because the chairperson of the board did say he takes ownership for all the things, which is good. When you started to talk and said, I was not there, and therefore I was going to show you that door. But you've taken ownership. You see, the problem with this entity is that even as we were dealing with this, with the report that will be coming now, is that their presentation was far from being smart. It did not have the attributes of smartness, because that is how you can only be when your document or your plan is specific, when your plan is measurable yourselves, because others just have a narrative for measurability. But when your plan can be measured, when you are crafting it, you can actually even see, I have done this thing in the past, and therefore I can do it. What Madame Sheen was saying, when she said, perhaps reduce these dreams that you have numbers that you can achieve, because you've got these huge dreams, but you've never achieved nothing. And it speaks to the next one, whether you can attain the plans that you have. Are they attainable? And are they relevant to your portfolio? And can they be timed? Can we put a time frame? As a quarter, can on your quarter one say you've achieved? Have you achieved it? Because you can't come with an incremental plan when you actually have never done it before. And it leads to all these things that are a problem. So that was the first thing. And we sent it back. And they brought some improved documentation. And we are hoping that as we move forward, they will actually be keeping, they'll be making sure that these things that they were going to be doing quarterly are achieved. Because unless you are able to achieve your plans quarter one, I mean, let me say, put it this way. If you are able to achieve the plans you had set for yourself in the first 3 months of the annual performance, which is when does the year end? April or March? The first April is your first month. April, May, June. When you do the assessment, if you are able to reach your plans, including your financials as you have planned them, you already have set a sound foundation to get hit on. You get clean audit from the first quarter. Not this thing that we do once the audit general come and they assess you, they tell you, no, what happened there? You go and try and adjust. You achieve your clean audit first month. And most of the entities that achieve clean audit, you can visit them and you can see that these people will achieve clean audit. You achieve clean audit not because of your management that's sitting here, but starting from the bottom, I mean, line of activity. So what, Madame? I mean, yeah. He says I can call him Madame. It's fine. Whatever name I gave, it's fine. So even your lower level staff, because they all contribute towards what you achieve finally. If they can't buy into your plan, you are going to be struggling with adjustments at the end of the year, and you can't do that. Then people start to run away from the Auditor General and start to politic against pure maintenance of adherence to their own plan. Because Auditor General is not auditing you on things that you have not said. He's auditing you on the things that you said you were going to be doing. So once your plans are don't adhere to SMART principles in the first place, you've lost the plot from day zero. Now, this entity is a very important entity, but it is misfiring like you can't imagine. Very, very big problem. It's concerning that the qualification remains unchanged for how many years now? Oh, first time, no. You were getting unqualified, and then you went for a qualification. Why? It's because when you were unqualified, you had matters of emphasis. Yes, it wasn't clean. It was not clean. It had meant matters of emphasis. There's one entity that has been very clean. So all of you have got matters of emphasis, and when those matters of emphasis are recurring, you end up with a qualification. Actually, even lucky that you didn't go to a disclaimer. So the board has to up its game, and so is the leadership of the entity. It is irregular, CFO. When we have to do material adjustments after the AG has visited us. Because those things are the things that we should be doing on a quarterly basis. I mean, the issues about our supply chain is a recurring problem in most of the entities. I mean, how can you have 100% plans and only achieve less than 50%, 42%. And then we still get our full salaries. And we still even get bonuses. It's immoral. It's actually illegal, just that it's not very illegal. But I guess as the AG moves forward, towards their new venture, we may possibly see them using the law to say, thou shalt not earn from here, thou shalt pay back, because thou have not done the work. Because it can't be business as usual when things are not when things are happening in the manner in which they are. So those things have to change. Now, what I also found missing in the presentation, CEO, is I did not get sufficient measures that we are taking to correct the things that have been identified. It's just a nice narrative. The things that have been raised as we have not dealt with them, I would have expected that in the presentation today, you would have said on matter X, this is what we'll be doing and we'll be having it by time X. In that way, you can see that this ship is being, or this vehicle is being driven towards a desired destiny. So I didn't find it. I can't find it in the presentation. You can say that, we know this problem, so we will be... But I would have expected that you say, this problem is worrying us and I'm putting my neck on the block by month X would have been here. And I expect that from the board. We will be inviting the board and the CEO back because you are on our radar screen. For as long as you misfire, it's an invitation for us to get you back to appear. You will sweat and you will pay for your hotel bills and for the airline bills if you fly at the expense of the public just to come and stay in Cape Town, but failure to do the work. At least the courts are now helping us to ensure that the managers that are defaulting must actually pay out of their pockets, whether we are the president, or you are the minister, or you are the CEO or the DG, and they'll be going to members of parliament as well if we're not doing our work. But it's crucial that when we use public funds, we should use them prudently. We must treat these entities as if we are running our own business. You must know that if you have not done certain things in your own business, the manager, the bank manager is going to recall your company. Or your creditors will do that. Yeah. You're on the floor. And the board, led by the board chairperson. The good thing about the board chairperson is that he's been very close. He's not a pure board chair bothering around being a politician. He's very close to become a technician. So you're on the floor, Chair.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much for your summary of our challenges. We note all the concerns that you have raised and we appreciate them. We can assure you that in our next appearance we'll do much better than today. We have been spending our first month as the board to try and understand the organization. We have had several presentations during our induction, and we fully appreciate the challenges that this organization is facing. They are not insurmountable, but they are deep, and they will require focus, determination, collective wisdom, and a bit of time. I think the portfolio committee would need to give us a bit of time, and I can explain why. Our performance in the first quarter and the second quarter is very low. You know, we have achieved 2 out of 4 in USASA, 1 out of 4 in USAF. So clearly, the first 2 months of the financial year do not look very good. And we're already going into the third, quarter. No amount of wisdom or action plans within such a short space of time will bear fruit and ensure that we achieve all of our targets within the remaining time. Because it takes time. If you need to procure service providers, you need a bit of time. You can't cut corners because then you'll found wanting by the AG. So I would say please bear with us. We need a bit of time to turn the corner. We are committed. And we're going to put a lot of effort in trying to, already with the current APP, we've told the minister that please bear with us. We don't want to rush to submit the APP. In line with the honorable member's advice, we're already thinking about cutting the number of targets in that APP and make it much smarter. But we have not complied because we submitted it very late, simply because we're not going to rush to comply. We're going to ensure that we do what is right and we can turn the corner. Rushing will not help us. We'll still be found wanting and there will be more and more questions and unhappiness with us. We'd rather be afforded an opportunity to do it right and turn the corner and get the organization on a sound footing. But we do appreciate that. I think with due respect to management, they've been beset with a number of challenges, particularly legal challenges, trying to deal with the legacy of the past. And that also consumes your effort to trying to clean up. At the same time, you're expected to perform. You can't just focus on cleaning up. You must also focus on performing. So a lot of effort has gone in the cleanup process. Now the cleanup process is done. Now we need to make sure that coming the next financial year, we have a very smart APP. And going forward, our strategic plan is also talks to our mandate. We also find ourselves in a very challenging position. It's almost the end of this administration with a new strategic plan envisaged in the next financial year. And with this APP running probably until the end of March next year. So we're also repositioning ourselves with a bill coming its way So the organization is going through a number of challenges, and we need to straddle between all of these challenges and hold ship and ensure that it does not collapse. Bear in mind also the staff is also saying to us, the board, please reassure us that we have a future in terms of the new bill. And please address our concerns. Our morale is very low. So all of these things, you know, when you are a new broom, when you arrive, everybody runs to you as if you got all the answers. And the answers are not with us. They're still with the same management. We need to motivate. We need to get as much out of them as possible. But with our leadership, experience, and guidance, drive them into the right direction. But they are foot soldiers. They'll have to sweat, as you said. I'm not going to sweat. They'll sweat for me. Because my role is that of a leader, provide strategic direction. I must make them sweat. If I can't sweat, they go first, I go last. That's how I work, simple. But I rely on them, Honorable Chairperson, to do all the work. Maybe it's an opportunity to give the other members an opportunity to say something, so that they also commit before you. I was invited. I ensure that I bring them with me so that they can commit themselves to you, Chairperson. Members, commit yourselves.
Once again, good afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members. It is the afternoon. And indeed, it's in the past few weeks, we have been immersed in the business of USASA and USAF, trying to understand the organization, trying to deal with the issues as they are coming up, because there are quite a number of these issues. Some of them, as you know and aware, are legacy issues. Some of them are on creation, including those of the drafting of the APPs, in a manner that even myself, I was asking myself, how am I going to achieve this if really I was planning that these are the things that I'm going to do. We've looked at the performance agreements just to see whether how aligned are they to the APP. Are they talking to what the organization is supposed to be doing? What is the mandate of USASA itself? Are we working towards that? So those issues, as identified here as well, that now rather we are working with them. And the commitment that has been sought, it is here. I'm giving my personal commitment that we are not going to run away until this organization is resolved, or the issues here are resolved. We are coming in without any background, with challenges that are there. We're working with whoever that is there that requires our support. And that is the understanding and communication.
Good afternoon, once again, Chair and honourable members. I think Chairperson of the Board asked if we are committed. Indeed, we are. I think we have spent the past month. Okay, I am committed. I think we've spent the past month really immersing ourselves in the detail and trying to really understand what the root causes of the problem are so that we can be able to properly resolve and ensure performance going forward. So I have to second what Chair has said, is that bear with us. It does take some time, and we're not saying that we're going to take forever. We understand the urgency and the importance of your mandate and what is expected from us, and we will deliver.
There was someone else.
Yes.
Okay.
No. Thank you so much, Chairperson and members of the committee. I think we do not want to appear as if we want to come up with excuses. The fact that there was a public protector report that we needed to implement immediately, and it had very tight deadlines that we needed to adhere to, has really also taken some of the time in understanding what the issues are and myself, I'm committed to making sure that performance is improved, because the reality is that a CEO was not there, and the management that was holding the fort during his absence, I can imagine what they were going through in trying to make the organization work better. But now that he's back, because that was our first commitment, that he comes back and finishes the work that he has committed to do. And in front of the committee, we are committed in giving the CEO the full support in ensuring that he does his work without us interfering and being operational. Thank you.
I'm Sihle Ngubane, I'm the board member as well in SASSA. So I'm present to the chair. So as well as like the chair is putting it clearly that we are here to support SASSA to put it back in the right direction. Same as me, I'm committing myself that we come here to make sure that SASSA meets it all. USASA meets it all target. Even me, when I came here with the induction and the introduction and looking at the critical issues of the spend in a SAP ERP system, when you've looked at the whole lot of range of SAP system, you see the same reputation of not understanding what you're getting yourselves involved to when you're implementing a system of huge magnitude. So these are things that together as a board we familiarize ourselves with, we've picked up the gaps. So we are here, as the chairperson has said, to support the management of USASA to make sure that all those gaps that were open before, we close them, and then we make sure that we deliver on the mandate that that we're expected to deliver on. So we're all here to support them, as well as me. I commit myself to say I'm gonna do my best as well to assist in a whole range of strategic direction of the institution.
Responses, CEO and CFO.
Thanks, Chair. And we accept the comments from our leadership. We've accepted what, for example, the Chair said, which obviously because of the amount that we involved in the BDM, we had to focus our energy. 1.5 billion is a lot of money. But we have cleared that now. We have a judgment that has cleared that. We're only waiting now for one judgment on the arbitration on the foreign exchange variance, which again, the claim against us was 234 million, which the state, had we not focused, even as I was at home, I still had to cooperate with the judge that presided over the matter so that we able to make a case that should save the state 234 million. We are awaiting that judgment. With that puts behind the whole historical baggage that we inherited. And we're focusing on performance already when we come back on quarter two and quarter three of this financial year, you will see the changes. The interventions that we've already made as we speak now in the few days have already yielded the results. And I don't want to speak to those until audit completes its auditing of those results. But as Chair was saying, the challenges are not impossible. As such, when we have focus, we're able to improve performance. And Honorable McKinsey, yes, you are right, and I take responsibility. And we have had actions, consequence management actions, that were dealing with areas where there were challenges. If you look at the year under review in context, quarter one, and we came before you, we showed you. Quarter one, we were 85%. Quarter two, USAF was at 67%. We were improving from history. But of course, the challenges became worse in quarter three and quarter four, and performance dropped. So yes, These are the consequences of the challenges that we faced in the year and a half. In terms of the Honorable Shin's question on the contributing factors, I think that answer to Honorable McKinsey speaks to that. We have the potential and we will get there. That's the commitment. We will get there. Already we are seeing the fruits. We are acting against those areas and those responsible people who lead to some of the poor performances. As we speak now, we just completed two disciplinary hearings that we had already started when all the challenges arose. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. Honorable Shin, the performance of service providers, we can look at the two major projects separately. With respect to BDM, we are looking at contract management issues and tightening those. And we inherited those and we are resolving those. As I've already indicated, there's two that we are managing now closely, one of which is affected by an external factor, which we are engaging to see to what extent does it impact on us negatively. And they were left with a few number of set-top boxes to complete their PO. And then the bigger one is the one that was, again, as a result of the contract management, where it wasn't clear what was expected of the service provider versus USASA's responsibility financially. For example, whether a DTH set-top box, the inclusion of a card, is it to be paid for by the service provider or USASA. So those are matters that we are beaten and we meeting tomorrow, as I've already indicated, to discuss with legal where to in respect of that service provider. On the broadband side, the service providers that and I think you saw for yourself that gave us huge challenges was in Mpumalanga, and we implemented intervention strategies that have led to the results that we showed to you today. The other challenges, we are investigating what where things are in respect of OR Tambo, because with that huge deployment and the challenges that arose in respect of the capacity of that service provider, we are just now checking off, because we installed 609 sites and then connected to 195 sites, and then we got money to connect the additional sites, but we are still in the process of activating that procurement in terms of the SCM processes. But we are checking the capacity to be able to sustain and take forward the project. So therefore, it's not necessarily a black picture of incompetence with the service providers. It's challenges that with the interventions we're making could be resolved. The Northwest set-top boxes, we are investigating that matter as it was reported. So I can't give you details now, but we'll come back to you in that regard. With respect to SEP, you are right on option, there were warning bells, but you'd recall when we came in, it was clear the instruction that this is a huge investment, it must be implemented. So as to why it was not foresaw that you needed to also couple it with support and maintenance, that's history, but we tried to intervene to try and make it work. And with the support from the Department of National Treasury, we are moving forward and we're hoping that there will be a continuous support and maintenance to make sure that it works. Change management, to some degree, we were able to get our people to accept and change with the change. Hence, you see the results in terms of the utilization are improving. But unfortunately, whenever there is a support and maintenance need and there isn't a service provider to provide that support, then unfortunately utilization drops, because when you are stuck, you want to make a transaction. And with the skills that you have been given in terms of training, you can't move, you need a service provider to come and assist, and it's not there. Then unfortunately people migrate back to conventional way of doing things. And that's why we appreciate the board's support to say, indeed, we need support and maintenance. Without it, we won't be able to utilize this investment that is huge. In terms of the questions on Abushin around the judgment, let me just read it as is, the judgment, and that part that relates to your question. It says, notwithstanding the above, which is the setting aside of the process and the panel, the validity of the supply and delivery agreements concluded between the applicant, which is us, and any of the first to six respondents shall not be affected by the provisions of this order. The rights and obligations arising from such supply and delivery agreements shall in no way be affected or prejudiced by this order. In particular, but without detracting from the generality of the previous sentence, the rights of the parties to refer any dispute to arbitration are preserved. Finally, it is declared that the applicant, which is us, is entitled to give effect to all purchase orders placed by the applicant with any of the six to the first to the sixth respondent, and to make payments in accordance with the contract arising from such purchase order. So that's the judgment. Of course, it doesn't take away that we need to continue to do contract management. So to the extent that there are contract management issues, we will deal with them through that contract management process. But in terms of the order, it speaks to all the six respondents that we had service and deliver agreements with. So that...
The BMOD giving us for other commitments, I just wanted to acknowledge that again. But to the board, to say that this is your boss, and she's been listening to you, and I know how she handles the issues, and she has all your commitments very keen and clear. And once you misfire, you will find the challenge.
Madam, thank you. Continue, Madam Shin.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I just want to understand the judgment. So, does this mean that all 1.5 million set-top boxes are going to be procured, and you are going to pay for them at the price on the orders?
We are having a meeting tomorrow with the board and with our legal team to take us from the judgment going forward. So maybe, respectfully, Chair, if we may come back in regards to that answer after the conversation with our legal team. Not tomorrow. We're meeting tomorrow, but we'll come back to the committee as soon as we have made decisions in that regard. And that includes the second part of your question in terms of what are the implications of the judgment, the wrongdoing that may have led to where we are. That's the conversation we'll be having with our legal team and discuss the legal opinion in that regard. So I'm unable to say where to from now until that conversation.
When can we get the response? We need the response, because you're not going to come back. We want the response in writing.
Okay, we will.
And that's why I wanted to say tomorrow, but if you want to extra day.
We're meeting tomorrow with our team and all. So can I suggest in 7 working days?
It's too much.
That's to next week, meeting?
On Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
By Tuesday next week.
Monday.
So
that's
you will get it Monday.
Okay.
So Monday we must have that report before we meet on Tuesday.
Okay. I'll cover the others and then CFO will come back on Honorable Mackenzie's questions on finance. Honorable Ndongeni, the number of household installations to date is 486,000. Let me put it that way and leave the small number throughout the country. So we still have boxes at the post office that as we get a registration and capturing the registration and installation continues. The focus now is on completing Free State and then Northwest. We did Northern Cape, Free State, then we'll go to Northwest. But when we complete the stock that we have, we are renewing, meant to meet with post office today. We're renewing our service level agreement and tightening it up because the lessons we have learned in terms of audit findings, etc., requires that together we review and tighten up the service level agreement to avoid some of the challenges. Because if one party fails, unfortunately, the responsible party is USASA. So any failure at post office, it comes back into our books. So hence, we are trying to tighten our service level agreement. Vacancies, we have 7, and we are filling those positions. We just were re-looking at where we are now and planning a way forward from where we are. Enyandeni, as I indicated, it also links to the question that the chair raised in terms of yes, there were these variances, and what are the actions to resolve the variances. Enyandeni is one of the areas that was supposed to be completed by 31st March, but it was not completed, so it is now being work is happening now at Enyandeni, and as such, hence your experience, but work is happening there as we speak. So we do have actions to complete the work of the previous financial year, be it the BDM, be it the broadband, including to the extent where 2 years of providing connectivity expired and we needed to activate new connectivity. We are engaging with National Treasury to the extent that that activation exceeds the variance limit of 15% of the original PO. So we're engaging all those to be able to continue provide the maintenance. But we are also continuing with the digital summit to conscientize our communities and in particular our partners, be it the Department of Education, of Health, and municipalities, on the benefits that they will realize as a result of this deployment, and therefore commit them to take over the connectivity, because we don't have an extended commitment from National Treasury to continue infinite. Some of the provinces, and may his soul rest in peace, the MEC of Education, the Eastern Cape, had committed to the Premier to supporting our rollout in Eastern Cape and take over the connectivity. So we will take those conversations and those commitments into a written agreement, and we're going back to some of the municipalities that were covered years ago to make sure that that commitment again is there.
CEO, one issue on that matter for the benefit of the committee, the issue that the member has raised, if you say work is going on, what does it mean? The physical work that when she goes back on Friday, she will find people on the ground doing work, or the work is happening from somewhere. Just explain that work that's happening, because
okay.
In her constituency, she seems to be very passionate about it, because that's a good battery test whether indeed mm-hmm. work is happening. So what work and where exactly?
Okay. Our executive responsible for the project is going to update us. What is happening in Kenya?
Thanks, Chair and the Honourable Member. Just to give a little bit of
No, in Yandeni, in terms of infrastructure, it has been complete.
That you said.
Yeah. Teams that are there, they are actually working on connectivity so that the schools and the clinics can then be able to utilize the connectivity that is there.
So there are people on the ground as we speak.
Yes.
If she takes a phone now and phone these schools, they are going to be saying, yes, the van or the truck or the kumbi is here doing connectivity in solution.
Yes.
Okay. And then you are finished.
Yes.
And then you can stop. Then she's going to test it.
Okay.
Thank you. And they must also say whether those things are working.
Yes.
Thank you.
And also appreciating that we have selected sites. So one of the risk with this rollout is at times people go to a school that is not in the list or to a school that is
whoa. I love
what we've completed the work, we test it, we quality assure it, and then we sign it off. And then when we are happy and then the people are happy, then launch it. Then after launching it, then we can put our heads on the block. Then it's working. We have done something exactly the same with Imbed.
And Wailab. We want to get this one straight.
Yeah,
so you have, what are you doing there? You are connecting now. In other words, there are no guarantees that the thing is working yet.
That's the process of after installation, signing off, and activate connectivity.
Look, we are not very schooled in that thing. You connect all of them, then you call them into a hall.
No.
Oh.
We install infrastructure.
Yes.
In all the sites. Then our teams and the service provider goes to each site, check, test, whether they comply with SA Connect requirements, etc., and then sign off.
And when does that happen? When will that be happening?
That's the process.
It's happening.
Okay. So, yeah, you're using it in Bengal. Wherever they have worked, the things are working. So, let's check where they have done it, because we must get that. But how can the chairperson who is sitting somewhere, wherever they are, put his head on the block and say that thing is working?
We have a plan to take the new board to visit the site.
Okay. How can we, from here, look, we are living in a high-tech world. Why can't we now go through the process and say school X is working and see so many people are connected and it's reaching its max and what have you. We should be, you can't expect the chair to fly for Ayolala Le Lentweni and then go and see which Indiela Hambing Namkanji Chen Kabamutu Wea Melinivi. No. Technology, Chief. Technology. I should be in a position to sit here and say, schools have been connected, here they are, get into your web, www.connect, go to that thing, you see that thing, this is how we test the connection. Because you can't expect these people to be moving around, all these schools going to check. You must have a platform or a whatever thing that you have.
Network management.
Whatever that call is. But you must have a battery that you can test here and say this one is working. Then there's a problem. This one is red, so it means there's a problem, either disconnected or something is stolen, or there's overuse, and so on and so on, so it's reaching its max, and so on and so on. This one, there are no people here, and then so on. I mean, we must have that thing. We must see it from here. The chair must see it from wherever the office is, whether the office is in Bloemfontein or Johannesburg or Polokwane, it doesn't matter. But at some point, we should be in a position to say that thing is working. You see, we have too many failures, and we can't afford to preside over yet another lapse. So we must be in a position to do it. The member can do it telephonically, but the monitoring must be, we must be able to find it somewhere. I can't go to Mbeki and go to Lusikisiki and go to Mbombela and go to wherever. We might actually at some point when we call you, you're going to put a visit and we must see the sites that are operational. When you say, which place did you connect? You say Mbeki, connect Mbeki now. Want to see Mbeki live?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, if we have time, we have access to the network management system where we can project and see. That's how we generate our connectivity reports every month. But we're also discussing with BBI to also extend our relationship.
Because the reason why you are going to fail the test with the AG again is that if you can't prove to the AG that these things are installed and they are working, and therefore there is no fruitless. You did hear him what they will be testing next year, come next time around. They'll be testing your when they do the audit next year, I mean, once the bill is enacted, they will be auditing your performance. In other words, if you set up installed this thing, it's working. Was it installed in a proper place? Are the people using it? So that is the value for money. That's what we'll be testing, value for money. So we would like to make sure that we are able to reach that stage now, CEO. But sorry to interrupt you. You are back on the floor. We just wanted to clear this matter, because she's been very concerned about it for a very long time now. Can I proceed to the next issues quickly?
Thanks, Chair. We will indeed test and make sure that we provide that online proof. The last set of questions were more from yourself, Chair. The template we will get and complete that template and provide that information tomorrow for the AG action plan progress thereof. The smartness we're improving, I'm sure members who were here long before they can tell a story about the APP officers and stuff. But now it's one or two the KPIs that we found to not be smart. And not the entire plan, but we are improving, and the board has made sure that the one for 1920, we make sure that it passes the test, all of our KPIs. So we're working on that. The adjustments that you refer to, unfortunately, in this particular case, the judgment came in the middle of the audit, so it was inevitable. Chair, we may also maybe provide with as part of maybe the BRR report, attach the actions, the time-bound action plans in terms of completing what is outstanding. So we commit to submit that. The finance.
In terms of the questions asked, the increase in the consultants and professional fees, that's driven by, there's two drivers there, which is the interim support for SAP that was procured during the last 6 months of the financial year under review, as well as consultants that were hired during the three disciplinary processes that took place during the 2017-18 financial year. There was senior people that were put through a disciplinary. It was the senior manager in SCM, the senior manager in admin, as well as the executive of corporate services. So that's the spend over there. There was a question on research and development, why zero? That in speaking to
what the CEO had said earlier, where there was in fact underachievement. Hence, that's the reason why there was no cost. In terms of the material adjustments, further to what CEO has said, we remember for the first, after the implementation of the system and post-implementation, there was a period when we did not have any SAP support and maintenance. So when we were experiencing any issues, we had nobody to turn to. And that what led to, once we got SAP support and maintenance from around October 2017, we then had to do bulk processing in terms of catching up on all the work from around October 2017. That's when we got SAP support and maintenance. So there was bulk processing that took place. And when we produced then the quarterlies and for both USASA and USAF, so it was during that process. It wasn't a normal financial year. Hence, you know, there were material adjustments that took place because of errors during the bulk processing. And then there was mention made also about bonuses. The bonuses that you see reflected on page 92 of the USASA. Of 324,000 rands. That is actually paid to lower level staff as part of their service conditions. It's not to management. The last time management shared in any bonuses was 2 years ago, which, in relation to, I think, the 2016 financial year. Thank you.
Can we let them go? Madam Sheen, are you fine? Baba Mackenzie? We are going to release the board and company. Thank you, sir, for your coming and for the commitment you have made. Your job is cut out for you. And if indeed you find out that you are not going to achieve your APP, we adjust it and put an addendum and present it to the committee so that if you know that you're going to be qualified and you know it by now, why wait for it? Deal with it now, addendum, ourselves, and the AG, and therefore you one step forward. Siyankulu Labongos. Teaching. We are moving to the next matter. Today we worked things very reversed. Anyway, please don't leave quietly. Can we take a quick lunch break and have a cup of tea? Because Mr. Mackenzie has failed us once more again. He is in charge of logistics, but he only takes care of himself. Thank you, Mr. Mackenzie. You are an exemplary person. When you deliver, you first deliver to yourself, and the rest must follow. Good job. Good job. Thank you.
What did we say?